We begin this hour with a number, 81%. It's the record high national high school graduation rate. To many, it's a success story, but the NPR Ed team has been digging into the number and found that this is not all good news. Here's NPR's Corey Turner with a short list of some of the questionable things schools are doing to improve their graduation rates.
And this isn't just my list. The Ed team has been unpacking this grad rate story with help from more than a dozen member station reporters from
Chicago,
Ann Arbor,
Birmingham,
Camden,
Philadelphia,
Clinton, North
Oakland,
Carolina,
California,
Atlanta,
Boston,
Binghamton, New York,
Miami,
Washington, D.C.,
Portland, Oregon.
And in our reporting, we found three surprising patterns. Pattern number one.
The math problem.
That's Becky Vivi. She's an education reporter for member station WBEZ in Chicago. And the math we're talking about here is a fraction the city uses to calculate its graduation rate. So, Becky, what was it about Chicago's math that caught your attention?
Basically, we found that many high schools in the city were mislabeling students when they left. They were saying they were moving out of town or going to private schools, when in reality, they were enrolling at the district's alternative schools, or in some cases in GED programs.
And we should say for people who don't know, alternative schools are really common in big city districts. They're for at-risk students, dropouts who are behind in credit, trying to catch up. They're generally still part of the public school system. So what effect has this mislabeling had on Chicago's graduation rate?
Well, it's making it look better than it really is, because mislabeling those students makes them disappear from that denominator. I talked with John Easton. He's one of the architects of that calculation. Here's what he had to say.
Clearly, you don't want a school to code a kid as a transfer when it's really a dropout. They know it's a dropout, and they're sort of gaming it. It's not helping anybody understand what's going on in the school.
As strange as all of this sounds, do we know for sure that it's actually happening intentionally?
We don't know. Our students move around a lot, and so it's hard to keep track of them, frankly. But we see this happening at high schools across the city. It's not just one single school. And in a lot of cases, it's not just a mistake or two. One school listed 120 students from the class of 2013 as having left to be homeschooled.
I'm assuming you spoke with Chicago Public Schools. What do they say about this?
They are very aware it's happening. The district's chief of innovation, Jack Elsie, he previously worked in Detroit, and he told me it's a problem across the country and not just in Chicago.
Well, thank you very much, Becky.
Thanks, Corey.
Pattern number two.
Credit recovery.
That's reporter Jennifer Guerra of Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor. And Jen, your job now is to explain credit recovery in three sentences or less.
Okay. Credit recovery is basically an online after-school program. If a student, say, fails Algebra 1, they can retake the class on the computer to, quote-unquote, recover the credits. I visited Cody's Medicine and Community Health Academy. It's a small high school on Detroit's west side where a third of the students are doing credit recovery. And this is what it looks like. It's a handful of students in a classroom working by themselves, and there's a teacher there on hand to answer questions.
And we should say it generally takes a lot less time, and I've also heard from some students that it's a bit easier.
I heard that as well. I think what students also really like about credit recovery, at this school at least, is that it's very flexible. They can do the work at home. One teacher I talked to at Cody High is named Jeremy Singer, and he says, yes, of course he wants to see his students graduate. He's just not sure that things like credit recovery are in his students' best interest.
I don't think that the degree from Cody right now is a proxy that says, because you have this degree, we're confident that you'll get through college.
Yeah, and he says that is a real problem.
Yeah, and frankly, it's a problem for us reporting on this story because we know that for lots of students out there, especially at-risk students, credit recovery is the only thing keeping them from dropping out altogether. It's an important safety net, but we also know in many cases, not all, but in many cases, it's not very good either.
Yeah, I think you just articulated exactly how Jeremy Singer felt. He had this sort of internal struggle going on.
Finally, Jen, we saw some sort of credit recovery happening in lots of states. How common is it, do we know, and can it be done well?
It's super common. Nearly 90% of districts use some form of credit recovery. As for whether it can be done well, that we just don't know. There's really hardly any research on credit recovery. There is one federally funded study that's underway, but results are not out yet.
Thanks very much, Jen.
Thank you.
Pattern number three.
Try again.
That's reporter Sarah Gonzalez of member station WNYC. And she has the surprising story of Camden. New Jersey, like many states, requires students to pass a high school exit exam. Sarah, what happened in Camden last year?
So in New Jersey, if you fail the first round high school exit exam, there's a second exam you can take, an easier one. It's untimed, and it consists of just one single question per subject. In Camden, half the senior class failed not just the first test, but the second one, too.
Okay, so what does that mean? I mean, did Camden really hold back half of its senior class?
No. In New Jersey, as in many states with graduation exams, there's a plan B. There's an appeals process, and students can submit samples of work they did in class to the state. It could be a single graded algebra problem or a persuasive essay with the teacher's comments on it.
And how many students are we talking about? I mean, who failed these tests but graduated thanks to an appeal?
In New Jersey last year, we're talking roughly 1,400 students. The mandatory high school graduation exam just isn't a barrier to graduation anymore. And Corey, this feels a lot like what you and Jen were saying earlier about credit recovery. Critics want to know, why have a graduation exam if students don't have to pass it? But supporters argue that providing multiple pathways to graduation is a lifeline for students, especially students in poorer communities like Camden. Here's the superintendent of the Camden School District, Payman Rahanafard.
In a city where so many young people live here, where there has been a lack of employment opportunities, and a city that's just really suffered from the impact of poverty, we need more of our students to have those better life opportunities.
He says that denying half of the seniors in the district a diploma just because they can't pass a couple tests shouldn't be an option.
Thank you, Sarah.
Of course.
And so what do all of these strategies add up to? Well, the simple answer is 81%, a national high school graduation rate that many call a success story. The complicated answer is a number that, in many ways, isn't worth the paper it's printed on. Corey Turner, NPR News, Washington.
And if you'd like to know what's happening with graduation rates across the country and in your state, you can visit npr.org/grads.